The government back to order. Let's see. We have some exciting things here. Of which, at this point, I'm not sure exactly where we're going with this agenda, but okay. 3212. Shall we try that one? Shall we try 3212? Okay.
That's a nice ring to it.
I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3212. Patrick, how about bringing us up to date on this one?
Listen, Mr. Chair, we heard House Bill 3212 first on March 25th. The original bill grants a leave of absence for up to 90 days for public or private employees who are members of the Oregon National Guard on state active duty status. Since then, we have drafted the Dash 1 amendments, which create some pretty substantial changes to the bill. Colonel Caldwell and Shelley Honeywell are here to talk about those Dash 1 amendments. And might be willing to come up and say a few words about them.
I certainly hope so.
I can mention that that legislative fiscal and revenue report, there is no fiscal or revenue impact to the bill with the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I might just say this was my bill. I originally brought it forth. Colonel Caldwell came up here and said it's a piece of crap bill. Please wait until we get it fixed, and they're back to fix it. I have no idea how he's fixed it, but I'm sure it's done well.
He commandeered it.
Okay.
Is that clear?
That's very clear. And
that's pretty straightforward. Chair, we give him an opportunity to use language on tape.
No, I won't. He is stuck with it now. It's out there to the world. Colonel? Joey?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would never question the Honorable Representative Mabry. I'm not sure I used crap, though. I mean, crapola, maybe, but... euphemism, anyway. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Colonel Mike Caldwell, the Deputy Director of the Military Department, and I sincerely do appreciate the committee's indulgence on this bill. Like I said at the earlier hearing, I think that we were trying to solve something that... didn't need to be solved in some miscommunication. What we've asked the committee to indulge us with, and you've been very good in doing so, was offering us the opportunity to go inside statutory language that's currently in the guard statute, which is Oregon Revised Statute 399.075, and fix some things that they're not absolutely the most important thing probably we do every day until you have an emergency, and then they become very problematic. And we didn't have the proper vehicle. We actually worked on it during the interim, thinking that we could fix some of these things that we'd run into, particularly during the major fire season last year. We had so many folks. We didn't have a vehicle. We thought we did, but we didn't. So this presented a great opportunity for us, and I was very delighted that Judge Mabry was, Representative Mabry was so kind in letting us take this opportunity. What we've done is gone inside the chapter of the law, and we've clarified. What active state duty is, and that doesn't sound all that important probably to you, but it becomes problematic when it comes for particularly public employees and other employers who need to understand those terms and what it is, and whether it's state active duty or federal active duty. And that's important that we do that. And also we added Homeland Security, which we frankly don't know what that chapter is going to hold. That's still being written as we talk.
Okay, neither do we.
Yeah, and I think we're all in the same boat. We do not know what that chapter is going to look like. It's being written, and so I think we're being proactive in that sense. And also, we asked for a status of temporary employment, which makes it clear in the state's mind how we pay these people, which is also important, whether they're permanent or not important or not permanent. And then we also put a language in there to remove them from the bargaining unit because they're clearly here during an emergency, and that's it. And we don't want to get into the game where we confuse our represented employees or compare them to the same. And then also we added one little section that added that the employer should expect these people back within 7 days. That's not been in the law, and we've had a lot of comments from employers saying, well, how long can they be gone? On the federal side, it's real clear, but it wasn't clear in the state statute.
On the federal side, they can be gone how long? Up to a year?
Up to 1 year afterwards, and there's some provisions in there that can be reduced less than that after they're released. Again, we're looking at the typical state active duty situation of the longest one that I can recall in 32 years was last summer. And we had people on that was on for almost 3 months. Some of them went over 3 months, and that was an unusual year.
Right.
But who knows? I mean, with all what's ahead of us in the Homeland Security business, maybe it could go longer than that. But let's give the employer something to get them back to work if they really want to come back to work. And then the biggest change, I think, for us was adding the ability, because we ran into this problem again last year, allowing people who have retired from the PERS system to continue to do their duties as a drilling guardsman and working for the governor, but not be penalized for coming to work for the governor in an emergency. And that was changing the PERS language to allow them not to be affected that way. That was the single largest piece, I think, that this whole operation that we've been able to accomplish. And I really appreciate your indulgence on this, because it's going to make a good bill, and it's good law for, I think, for our people, and I think for the citizens.
Okay.
Anything to add?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Shalee Honeywell, and I'm with the Department of Administrative Services. And Colonel Caldwell and I have worked really side by side, hoping to, again, bring forth those areas that are important in statute to change 399. And just a couple of points on bringing in that they need to be temporary employees, along with the fact that they need to be excluded from Chapter 240 and 243 and the retirement issue.
Is that what 240 and 243 are, is a retirement?
Actually, ORS Chapter 240 is SPURL. It's actually state personnel relations law, mostly relevant to classified employees, management service, the unclassified exempt service, really how DAS sets state policy for those type of employees. And then 243 relates to some of those other issues, and particularly to collective bargaining. And so that needed to be made clear if they are temporary employees, and some of the restrictions that are within those statutory requirements, such as we had the issue on PERS retirees and the 1039-hour cap. Under 2ORS 240, we have a 1040 cap on temporary employees. So, again, to make it work at the best interest of the state and the governor to be able to call these individuals up, we brought forth the language that really could make that available to the governor make it a clean process.
I would just add one more thing, Mr. Chairman. When our people come on state active duty, we also have statutory language that provides us the ability to adjudicate military law, state military law, which is in most cases identical to the federal military law, and we have our own ability to set up a court system and actually have these people go through a court system if they do something, or we got the ability to turn it over to the prosecuting attorney of that county. We can go either way, so we've got both of those in there. So
okay.
It's later in the chapter. But
later in the chapter than what we're seeing here?
Yes, sir. Already written, it's already there, and it's been part of our statutory language for about 20-some years now. So there is that ability to manage that from a law formation. So
okay.
We're not escaping anything. They don't get any rights beyond what a regular citizen does.
Okay.
In fact, is they're actually under more, they can be penalized more than a regular citizen. So
the language that's on page 3 in section 2 there, starting on line 16, is that, and so that is just stating then that when they to terminate their leave of absence, I assume for their employer, is that correct? Then they have to resume their duties of employment within 7 calendar days?
And Mr. Chairman, that's true. Yes.
Okay. So they've been out for 3 months, 4 months, whatever the case may be, at the order of the governor. They've now been released because that situation has ended. And so you have released them to go back to their regular employment, and they need to report back to work within 7 calendar days in order to retain the job that they had prior to being called into active duty.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. If they want to take advantage of this protection offered in the statute, they have to be there within 7 days.
Okay. I'm just wanting to make sure that I'm reading it correctly. Okay. Are there any other questions for the Colonel or for Shelley? Representative Nelson?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Colonel Caldwell, 7 days? That's not very long.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, again, the typical emergency is really quite short, typically. 3 to 4 weeks, which is a long time for an emergency for us in this state. We had an anomaly last year. the average individual needs to go back, probably get some banking organized, make sure everything's in order, get the lawn mowed. We had a long discussion about this, but we simply don't think that it's the employer's responsibility to, because if you read the rest of the statute and what they're entitled to, they haven't lost any benefits when they left. They still come back in. They haven't lost their vacation unless they've chosen to use it for something. So it's like they never left that employment position. So they're right back into the same position they were. Okay. And we really had a long discussion about it, and we thought that that was probably the fairest to the employer. So we don't have people that don't show back up for a long time, and the employer is still sitting there waiting, where's my employee? I mean, the emergency's over. I need to. And typically, we're talking small employers. We're not talking Union Pacific Railroad or one of the big guys. We're talking little guys that really need that employee. Mm-hmm. So we really thought that was the best way to approach this.
I would imagine that if we went much longer than that, we probably would have the NFIB and some other groups in here saying, no, this is not a good idea. You had a follow-up, Representative Nelson?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chair. Well, the reason, and Colonel Caldwell knows this, because in our line of duty, you know, we're overseas, we're wherever, and, you know, wherever you're sent, for mm-hmm. sandbagging or whatever you're doing, flood, you know, fire, you know, just the transportation sometimes can be 2 and 3 days just to get back. So is that included in the 7 days, or is it upon arrival back at your residence or back at your origin?
Mr. Chairman, well, first off, this is only in state. This doesn't affect anybody that's going overseas. If you go overseas, you automatically...
Anywhere else in the United States.
Anywhere else in the United States. It's only in the state of Oregon. The governor calls you up for an emergency, so therefore you're in that state active duty status, which is right at the beginning of the... We clarified that at the beginning, so there's no confusion. You're either on federal active duty or you're on state active duty. If you're on state active duty, you've got 7 days. So the furthest you can go is... I guess, you know,
Ontario.
Border to border, Ontario, AROC. So
I'm assuming that, since I don't know military law, follow-up, Mr. Chair, that you're never sent to assist the state of Washington or Montana or Idaho like we did previously when we were all hauling sandbags and you name it for mm-hmm. funds.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, the... we have another hat that we wear, and probably I should have explained this at the beginning, but when you join the National Guard, you join the National Guard of the state you're in and the National Guard of the United States.
Right.
As a member of the National Guard of the United States, then we can put somebody in what we term Title 32 status, which is a federal status, but you're still under the control of the governor. And now you're protected under all the federal laws that allow you to be in that status. You don't need this. You don't qualify under state active duty because you're in federal status, being paid by the feds. And you can go to another state, you can go to another country,
okay.
and you have that federal law to protect you okay. coming back, which offers you up to 1 year.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
All right.
So this is just separating the two.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Representative Mabry.
If I understand correctly, if I'm in the National Guard in the Dalles, the National Guard in the Dalles is in trouble. We recognize that. But if I'm I'm called to active duty, from the Dalles, I'm on duty when I'm called. I go do whatever it was I was called active duty for, and I'm not released from active duty until I get returned to my call-up station, which is the Dalles. Correct?
Mr. Chairman,
so 7 days after that, I'm already home.
After returning to your originating city.
Right.
Where you're released.
That's what I wanted to be sure.
Okay. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
We call cut an order. We write it. Every individual, we say where they're from, their unit, wherever that unit's designated. If it's in the Dalles, that's where that person is from, and that order takes them away and then brings them back to that start point, and then they're off orders that day.
Okay.
Again, I want to thank you very much for your...
You're sure welcome. Thank you for bringing this forward.
Mr. Chair, I would
Representative Mabry.
I would motion that the dash two amendments be added to 3212.
How about if we make it to dash one? Is that okay?
That's the one.
Okay. some more.
Okay. No.
I looked at 32.
Representative Mabry moves the dash two. Yeah, you got me doing it. Moves the dash one amendments into House Bill 3212. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Mabry.
I would move that we send this to, there's no fiscal impact, move this to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Representative Mabry moves House Bill 3212 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay. Gina, you want to call the roll, please?
Aye.
Excuse.
Aye.
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 Excuse. Aye. House Bill 3212, having received the constitutional majority necessary, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Mabry, would you like to carry this one?
Sure.
Great. Oh, my God.
Representative Mabry will be the carrier, and I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3212. Now.
You were so thrilled, weren't you?
I can't wait to see this one.
Okay, let's see. We are going to pull House Bill 3488 off of the agenda at the request of the proposer of the bill. So it is gone. House Bill 3380 is being moved to Thursday, correct?
Okay.
It's being moved to Thursday. And I'm going to ask the committee to just stand at ease for a moment, okay? General Government, House General Government Committee is back to order, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3272. Mr. Nelson, would you come up here, please?
Aye.
There has not been a motion made yet,
oh.
Representative, but in just a moment, there will be.
An excellent response,
Nelson. I like your thinking. Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Mark Nelson, Public Affairs Counsel representing Linn County. You have before you the Dash 5 amendments, and these were amendments that were drawn at our request, and they modify the previous amendments for some things that were brought up in the hearing and discussions. And if you move to page 2, the principal difference in the previous bill, there was a reference to Linn County in each one of these amendments. And what we've done, if you will find on line 24, well, line 23 through actually 27, where it says, may be further identified using coordinates and other location information determined by the affected county surveyors and filed by the appropriate county. So rather than a specific reference to Linn County starting the process, we just make a reference to the affected county surveyor so that we're not putting one county in charge of the process. And that was a concern that was raised in the last hearing. Otherwise, we make that change in every reference to the adjoining counties. So on line 2, it's Linn and or page 2, it's Linn and Benton counties that are of consequence. And page 5, it's Linn and Lane counties. On page 6, it's also Linn and Lane counties. And in page 7, it's Linn and Marion counties. Page 8, it's Linn and Pope counties for the specific references. Otherwise, it's all the same. Again, we just removed the reference to Linn County and inserted affected counties.
Okay. I have a question, Mark, and that is, because of the technology that we now have available with the use of GPS systems, why do we continue to use the middle of the Willamette River as a coordinate for a boundary, understanding that because rivers tend to change course over time, that means that the boundary is going to change over time? And why don't we adjust this so that we go to an absolute coordinate, even if that coordinate is in the middle or somewhere in the channel of the river?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it is to that this is to both, that it has been surveyed to the middle of the river and the coordinates have been established.
That's right. Roger, you want to come up and... Commissioner, I'm sorry. Would you like to answer my question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. For the record, Roger Nyquist, Linn County. That is correct. And the basis, I take it part of your question is why do we use the center of the river at all?
Well, that sort of is the underlying current, no pun intended, of the question.
You know,
is,
that's a damn mess.
Efficiency and services to residents of those counties involved. I mean, when you have only three crossing points between counties, a sheriff, for example, could have to drive 30 miles one way to cross the river and 30 miles back the other way to get access to that point, whereas if you use the center of the river, there probably would be somebody a lot closer. But you don't have to cross the river because of the line. You don't have property on the wrong side of the river.
And that's fine. But what I'm saying is that as opposed to, because we know where the coordinates could be, because, I mean, you know, maybe in 1,000 years the river would shift far enough that you'd actually have to cross over to get to the other side. Well, obviously, the other side, but to get to the other county all the way, and still be in your county. But for a long, long, long time, it's going to be somewhere in the riverbed and in the water. And I'm just curious as to why we don't just put the coordinates as far on a GPS system and say that that's where the boundary is, and then it's forever fixed then.
Mr. Chairman.
Or at least in our lifetime it is.
What has happened, of course, this thing was set in statehood. And, of course, the river without dams has moved a lot in
right.
all of those years. And with this new setting, it is to the Mill River. There is GPS. It is set up on a GPS. We believe that the river won't move because of the dams, unless there is another 500-year flood that could cause, you know, some kind of major movement. Now, in case that happens, the amendments allow for the process by which, again, we say when the Willamette River serves as a boundary between Linn and Benton counties in subsection 1A and C of this section, mm-hmm. the reference to the river refers to the middle of the Willamette River as it existed on January 8, 2003, and this is with GPS markings, okay? And may be further identified using coordinates and other location information determined by the affected county surveyors and filed by the appropriate counties with the appropriate assessors. So if for some reason in the future, there is movement. It's a process by which the counties will then redetermine that and reset the GPS.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Representative Kitts, you have a question?
Yes, I've got a question for Commissioner Nyquist. Hypothetically speaking, if you were fishing in the Willamette and you caught a fish and you got out of the Willamette and somebody said, Commissioner, which county did you catch that fish in? What would you say?
Well, if it was a big fish, I would say it was in Linn County.
Well, they'd know you were lying if that was. You don't catch big fish.
Okay, now wait a minute. Whoa,
thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
Chair?
Representative Krasanski.
Before Mr. Nelson leaves, it's interesting that you brought that point because I was thinking just basically the opposite. Why don't we just say the middle of the river and just let the river be wherever it's going to be instead of trying to give a coordinate? Because it seems like after X number of years, whatever it may be throughout the state, you potentially are going to have this change all the, you know, where you have to come back and make these changes. And that way, it seems like if you set that coordinate down the middle, wherever the river takes itself.
Wherever the middle of the river is always the boundary, and irrespective of what
the GPS site or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, historically, I was trying to figure out what's happened in the American history as to setting boundaries, and rivers have always been boundaries. I mean, a good representative from Texas can talk about, you know, we have 254 counties in Texas, and a lot of those are set based on river boundary as being the division between counties. And I just didn't have time, or my staff didn't have time to track why you're going to specific coordinates. I don't know that.
My thinking was, as far as the specific coordinates was, and utilizing GPS, is from the standpoint of meets and bounds. Or if you look at any property boundary, is always set based on a coordinate, and that's why I was thinking in those terms. But you do raise a good issue as far as, you know, okay, well, if the Willamette River is going to be the boundary, why not always have it be the middle? And so,
Mr. Chairman,
do you want to respond to that,
Mr. Chairman, Representative Posansky? I guess my best answer is all surveyors of all affected counties, including Benton County, have come to an agreement on this process and the method. And I can't really, from a technical point of view, professionally point of view, I'm not a surveyor, but they have determined that this is the best way, both from in the center of the river and with the GPS way to set it. So, and again, I emphasize all surveyors.
Yeah. Mr. Chair.
Representative Kipps.
Are we in work group right now?
Work session?
Work session.
Yes, we are.
Can I move to accept the -1 or the -5 amendments to 3272?
You can move that we adopt the -5 amendments to 3272. Representative Kipps moves the -5 amendments. Discussion, Representative Przanski.
Yeah, I know we have another set of -- amendments, and I want to at least let the other person who's bringing those forward, so we kind of know what we're doing with both of those sets before maybe voting on the motion.
We have something other than the -5s?
We do have a -6 okay. Well, we will make sure that
I'll withdraw.
Okay.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Thank you, Representative. That would be fine.
Mr. Chair, I have the -6, but I've got pages 1, 3, 5, and 7. I don't
Same
have.
Thing.
Well, then it must not be very thorough.
Mr. Chair, I'd move that we get a committee administrator that's capable. You're not checked off.
Apparently, the -5 and -6 both were only given to Senator Morse and I with the odd numbered pages.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I think I have the entire set.
Isn't he a senator?
Yeah, he's got the -6.
Well, what's he doing when we're voting over here?
Well, he has an interest in this.
We'll get him.
Okay.
So do you have a full amendment?
I have a full set of amendments right here.
Oh, good.
I do. He's the chair.
Right here. Do we need to stand at ease for a moment?
Staff can certainly, second time's a charm, make copies of all 7 pages.
Okay, just a second. Let's just make sure here. There's page 1 and 2, 3... 4, 5, 6, 7.
That would solve that.
Do you have this full set of the dash fives?
Yes, I have a full set of the dash fives. Here's another full set of the dash fives.
I just threw one in the chair.
I've got two of them.
Here's a full set.
You have a full set?
Yeah.
Oh, only
the
front is
a
full
set. Are we?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a deal that we have.
Got a lot of stuff in the.
Yet again, you had Representative Worth. Yes, that is your name. You had some questions for Mr. Nelson. Mark, you want to come back up, please?
Thank you, sir. Mark, do you?
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Do you know what the original legislative intent was when the boundaries were first established?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Worth, no, I do not.
Okay, follow it, Mr. Chair.
Contrary to popular belief, I don't think he was here when they said that. But
Representative Worth. You're perpetuating it, Mr. Chair.
He was here. He just didn't represent Linn County at the time.
There was none. He probably
were. Representative, go ahead. Okay, we need to get back to business here.
Sorry. Okay, follow it, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Thank you. Mark, do you know of any other times in the time you've been here? Where we've passed legislation that named counties that were not all agreeing to the bill?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Worth, I'm not familiar with previous legislation. And my understanding that in terms of the boundaries and where they are, where they're being set, what's been agreed to, that all surveyors have agreed to this, whether there are different commissioners who have different positions, that's why we're here, and that those positions have been represented in this hearing by commissioners from both Linn and Benton County.
And final follow-up?
Follow-up, yes.
Can you give me, I guess I don't see the urgency here that this needs to get accomplished before the end of session. And I'm wondering if there's been discussion about the county's meeting and to see if there's a workable solution. I know that this Polk County and Polk and Yamhill took over a year to get their legislative fix on a mutual boundary.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Worth, it's my understanding that this discussion has been going on in particular between all the counties, but in particular between your county, Benton County, and Linn County for over a year. They just haven't reached an agreement. And I don't think it's been for the lack of discussion, but your county wants to keep the boundary from statehood, and in effect, and Linn County's position is we need to correct the boundary. And there are services, there are issues of where people are registered to vote, what what taxing districts they belong to. There are a lot of issues that Linn County chooses to try to correct. The two counties have not reached an agreement, and that's what this forum has been all about. And both counties have come in and expressed their view.
Final follow-up. So the bill before us is really a result of not urgency to get the matter done, but just a frustration with the process up to this point.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Worth, I think it's a culmination of a process that needed to be done. The boundary needs to be changed. There has been an honest agreement, disagreement between the parties, but I believe because the surveyors of the counties have come together and recognized these boundaries as such, all the counties, including Benton County, that that this is the proper approach.
I had one answer.
Yes,
final,
go ahead.
Final follow-up. And have you had a chance to look at the full set of -6 amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Worth, -6, and then members of the committee, -6 simply removes Benton County from the bill. That's all it does. And so we partially correct boundary problems, and we don't believe, we oppose the -6 amendments and believe the -5 is an all-inclusive solution to the problem.
Thank you.
Representative Krasanski had before
I do want to put one thing on the record before, because I know there's a motion coming down. It appears from what I was told by a representative from Benton County that maybe Senator Morris was attempting to come up with some other amendments, which might be the -7s, I don't know.
Right.
That there's also some concerns about compensation or some type of other things that may should be addressed. I don't know. I mean, I have worked on this for a year. I mean, has there been any discussion as to what, if anything, should be done when you have these property changes as a policy decision? I mean, is it just and whatever one county may have invested in the area that they're now going to lose, they just lose it and the benefit goes to the other county? Because, I mean, besides this one we have today for Linn and Benton County, I mean, I should make certain that we're, whatever the protocol may have been in the past or what we may be looking at in the future, that we have some type of guidance of how these should be done, so we're not every 2 years or 5 years, 8 years, having one county or two counties coming in wanting to change it based on what might be a change in course of a river or whatever.
I think that's a good point, Representative.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Krasanski, that is currently being discussed, and Senator Morris is looking at, in the -7 amendments, different ways of perhaps addressing that. And the discussion today was he was fine with trying to deal with that on the Senate side. And so further, Representative, further discussions are going to take place in this process on that issue.
Okay. Representative Kitts?
Mr. Chair, I would move that we accept the -5 amendments in the 3272.
Representative Kitts has moved the -5 amendments discussion. Representative Worth.
Mr. Chair, I had, based on what Representative Krasanski asked, I do have one more question of Commissioner R. Mark. Thank you for an indulgence.
Would you withdraw your motion for a moment, please?
Your jumping gun.
Representative Kitts.
I withdraw my motion this time for one question.
One excellent question.
Well, I don't want to be here all night waiting for that one excellent question.
Mark, you said that all these surveyors had agreed to this, had come to agreement on this issue, and you know, Benton County does not have an elected surveyor, and as far as I understand, that the surveyor can't make that decision without the commissioner's vote.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Worth, I'm not familiar with that. I'm talking from the professional point of view in terms of the surveyors in the various counties. I wasn't aware whether they had an elected surveyor or just a regular surveyor, but my understanding is that they reached an agreement on all of these boundaries and between all of the surveyors. Again, if there is difference of opinion, I'm coming from a professional technical point of view in terms of that these are the boundaries. If there's disagreement on the policy side, the political side, which obviously there was because your commissioners were here testifying for this bill, clearly Benton County, from a policy point of view, does not want to see the boundaries moved. I'm just representing to you that these boundaries have been set by all surveyors and have been agreed upon. That doesn't mean the surveyor is setting policy.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Bobakian.
Forgive me for taking us back to, I guess, square one, but there is a current county boundary, right? Doesn't follow the river because the river moved. Why, just summarize for me why it is we even have the bill at all, why there's any purpose in moving the boundary from where it currently sits.
Chairman, Representative Bobakian. It is to set the boundary back to the middle of the river, which has stabilized, obviously, since the dams have been set, and to clearly delineate where property owners are going to receive their services, where they're voting, where they go and get their building permits, to clearly delineate that for those property owners.
Has there, Mr. Mayor?
Follow-up, Representative Bobakian.
Has there been some... I guess I have in my mind that everybody has lived in the same place and worked in the same place that they always have, and the county line exists where it exists, and I don't understand why anybody would be confused about the status of the county line.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bobakian, because it's not the correct county line now because it's not the middle of the river. You heard from property owners who came to testify that they looked to services from Linn County. And that's where they believe they live.
Because current language says it's in the middle of the river.
That's correct.
Okay. Representative Mabry?
I think if I may offer, my understanding of that question is that I live on this side of the river, but my county is over on that side of the river, and when I call for 911, it has to come from that county that may not be able to get to me because of the river and bridges and crossings and those things, or fire, or any of those things. And if I call services in the other county, which is on this side of the river, they can't respond because the county boundary is there. Is that not the problem?
Mr. Chair, Representative, maybe that you've described it accurately, and that was part of the testimony from the landowners the other day.
Okay. Any further questions for either Mr. Nelson or Mr. Nyquist or Commissioner Nyquist? Seeing none, Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we accept the -5 amendments into House Bill 3272.
Representative Kitts moves the -5 amendments to House Bill 3272. Is there a discussion? Representative Blackman.
I wonder if we could just have a very quick recap from Patrick or somebody on the difference between 5 and 6.
Sure. Can you provide that for us, Patrick?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Perhaps Mr. Nelson will be able to correct me if I'm wrong in stating that the -5 amendments primarily stipulate any subsequent further identifications necessary would be determined by the affected county surveyors. The -6 amendments Let me just correct one thing. And resets the boundary to the middle of the river.
And resets
to the current middle of the river, as of where the middle of the river was on January 8th, 2003.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And then the Dash 6 is due that as well, except that the portion of the Dash, they are very similar to the Dash 5s, except that the portion that references Benton County is not included in the Dash 6.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Representative Frzanski.
Sitting here and listening to this, I'm not saying that this isn't an appropriate forum for this discussion to take place, because at some point when the counties have exhausted their ability, I think the state is in the best place to rectify whatever needs to be done on this level. I looked at some of the material that had been given to me as to how these counties were actually carved out of existing counties when they were originally established. And I question... The part I guess I'm having difficulty with is we have a landowner who, I'm not sure, the record doesn't reflect when they bought the land, but at that point when they bought the land, clearly they knew they were in Linn County, in Benton County, excuse me, and that they had to at that point expect and anticipate that their services would be coming from that county no matter what the obstacles may be. Now, without having the information of knowing how much time has passed, what the river did since the purchase of the property, did the river, from what we've heard so far, the river made movement over a 50, 60-year period of time? And I don't remember anything in the testimony, with the exception of, I guess, the flood that was in 96, that there was some significant movement. But again, I don't recall it being a movement that, let's say, repositioned the river to this particular property that the property owner came in on. So now we're asked to basically rectify the issue that needs to be dealt with, which is reset the boundary, which may in fact give the property owner different rights as compared to what they had and services available to them from the original or the county they currently are residing in. And then I question as to what type of improvements did that county make, if any, and what is the compensation that the state is going to require, again, if any, from the county that's now going to reap the benefit of having this new property on their tax rolls. And as much as I believe that we shouldn't reset the boundary, I also think that what we have in front of us is not a complete bill. Mr. Nelson, to his credit, has stated that this is supposed to be continuing to be worked on if it makes it out of committee through the floor and in the Senate side. I guess the question is, if it doesn't make it out of the House, then we are back at status quo. And is it best to move forward before we at least have the better understanding of what the full picture is, or should we just go ahead and expect that it's going to be either up or down on a floor vote and then potentially be addressed or not addressed if it makes it to the Senate?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Nelson?
I spent 24 years in my life working with some 200 lawyers, and we could spend the rest of our life, negotiating, here a foot, there a foot. And I just want to say that this is a prudent and right thing to do. You know, who knows? 10 years from now, the river may shift again, and, we'll be moving back to, back the other way. But having been previously through this, and I believe it took us 113 years to come to a decision, and there, it is all encumbering today when you have, like Representative Mabry said, you've got sheriff's divisions, you've got voting precincts, you've got taxes, and you've got, a great great discrepancies of who belongs where and when. And this is the prudent, right thing to do. Is the middle of the river, and let's just, get in the boat and, keep rowing. Let's move this forward, and if it changes, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, we'll be back here giving them back the property the other direction. But it's a fact of life. It's happened. The rivers change, and so do we. And we're wasting a lot of time here when we should be doing what's right and passing this amendment and moving on.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Przanski. So I guess based on the scenario that Representative Nelson is laying out, that if her county had invested $17,000 in administrative cost regarding the boundary changes, had assessments that have now going to be taken off the books because of the change in the boundary, plus not being reimbursed for a new bridge that was installed in a short period of time back, I question whether we'd want to move and roll the boat quite as quickly as we are today.
Representative Kitts and then Representative Worth.
Mr. Chair, I'll be very simple and very brief. I think it's a good bill. I think it rights a wrong. I think it simplifies a problem that needs to be addressed. I'll support it, and I thank the folks for coming forward with it. Thank you.
Representative Worth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose this bill and the Dash 5s. And as I stated previously, this bill sets a dangerous precedent for county boundary disputes in the future because it allows this bill to go forward without all the counties named in the bill agreeing to it. This is clearly a county matter, and I would submit that we should ask the counties to meet and find a workable solution, or meet until they do find a workable solution. The legislature deciding this county matter, I believe, adds one more instance where the state usurps the county and local jurisdiction's discretionary authority to make decisions in these issues. So I'll be opposing it.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair, I have one, just if I could, based on what I just heard someone else say, well, the truth is, on the situation we just resolved, Polk County, took a rib from the Anhill County side, when it was formed to begin with. And after that testimony, I had an individual that came up and said, well, wait a minute, Donnie, you should give Lane County credit because Yamhill County took a rib from Lane County to get started originally. So, I think we're making really mountains out of rivers here, and let's just move on.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Buckin.
I think Representative Worth brings up a very, very good point in us at least considering whether or not we are inappropriately using state power in a local issue, which I generally would be very much against. I have the impression from Lynn and Benton counties that they've worked very hard to resolve this and that it is irreconcilable. And if that's the case, then I think it is an appropriate use of state power. If I'm mistaken about that, then I think Representative Worth is right. And if anybody on the committee has got information about that that leads me to believe I'm wrong in that conclusion, I'd hope we would discuss it now. But it appears to be irreconcilable.
Okay. Representative Przanski?
I'm going to support the Dash 5 amendments, but I'm not going to be supporting the bill coming out because I do believe that we do need, I think that we have reached that point. I mean, the other ways that you can do this is this could go into court. I mean, you could have this, arbitrated. Litigate it through the judicial process, but I don't know if that's a wise use of resources for the counties to be doing. I'm more than willing to, support the amendment because it will, in fact, put the boundary line in place. But I think we're missing another amendment that should be here as to the compensation. I mean, it's what comes around and goes around as well. And it's very amazing to me that we're sitting here looking at what the infrastructure that has been testified to, but we're not at this point requiring any settlement of those costs and expenditures. And so now we have one county that's basically going to be benefiting at the expense of the other. And I think that part's missing. That's why I will not support the bill going out, but I will support the Dash 5 amendments to reset the boundary.
Okay. Representative Buckner.
I think it's another very good point, and just for the creation of the legislative record here, I do think it's appropriate for us to set the boundary in a situation such as this, and maybe would not be appropriate for us to settle damages between the folks, that maybe the court system is the appropriate forum for that, and that that's an area that we shouldn't venture into.
Okay, thank you. Representative Worth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I just respond to Representative Vakian, and according to Benton County, they have not had adequate input into this bill. And so I would say that it's, you know, we're at a crossroads, or there's irreconcilable differences perhaps on one side, and that's a matter of, you know, interpretation, but that's clearly what I have been told from many different sources in Benton County. So I don't think that every measure has been exhausted at this point.
I'm going to take the prerogative here of weighing in on this. I'm going to support both the Dash 5s, and I'm going to also support the bill coming out. I think, though, Representative Vakian, I think you do raise a valid point. I think that the information that I have is that it is to the point where they're at loggerheads, and maybe by moving the bill forward we can sort of break the logjam, if you will. But at the same time, I know that Senator Morse is interested in working on amendments to rectify the damages issue, if that can be accomplished here, and if it can't, then maybe the best source for that is to go into the court system. I would agree with you on that. And I think, Representative Przanski, that sort of does address some of the issues that you have. And what I would like to do, because we're going to find ourselves getting kind of backlogged here on the House side if we don't get some of these things moving. And what I would like to do is go ahead and move the bill out and move the bill through the House floor. And then, and assuming it passes there, then when it gets over to the Senate, let the counties continue to work on the issues, and the compensation being one of those issues, and let the Senate also work and massage this to see if there can't be some kind of a resolution. And then at that point, if it passes out of the Senate, and if it's substantially different than what we've passed here, and there's questions about the amendments that the Senate makes, there certainly will be the opportunity to go into a conference committee to try to make sure that we get to an agreement. But what I would like to do is go ahead and move the process, let the bill continue on in the process, but understanding that there's going to be further work done on it by all parties. So with that, Gina, would you call the roll, please? Yes, on the Dash 5. This is the motion to adopt the Dash 5 amendments into House Bill 3272. And I do want you to go ahead and call the roll, because I think we do have one or two notes.
Aye.
Representative Kitt.
Aye.
Representative
Mabry.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative
Nelson.
Aye.
Representative
Worth. No. Aye. The Dash 5 amendments are part are now into House Bill 3272. Representative Kitt.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 3272 to the floor as amended.
With a due pass recommendation?
With a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Kitts moves House Bill 3272 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Representative Przanski.
Mr. Chair, I, for the record, as I've already stated, I will be voting against the bill moving forward, thinking it's premature for those reasons stated. I would just say back to Representative Vakian, maybe we should not be sitting in as the trier of damages, but at least we should make certain that if those things aren't taken care of, I do hope the Senate gives the counties the authority to go in and move forward through a court process, because I think there is a point there that has not been addressed. And if we're going to reset boundaries, I think we should be looking at the big picture, the whole picture.
Okay. Point is well taken. And I would, one thing I did forget to mention is that the boundaries are currently in statute, so it is appropriate for the legislature to be setting boundaries for counties and that sort of thing. Any other comments about the bill? With that, Gina, would you call the roll, please?
Aye.
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 No.
No.
Aye. House Bill 3272, as amended, has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Let's see. Who would like to carry this?
Representative
Kitts.
Okay.
Representative Kitts, doesn't matter to me.
Representative Kitts, let's have you go ahead and carry it, please. Thank you. With that, we have no other business before us. Committee, thank you very much for your attention and for being willing to come back this evening, and we will stand adjourned.
Thank you, Chief.